I want to start reading in verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful for another day of life, thankful for the day that you have made. I pray we would rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for those that are here, and I pray that each one of us has come today for the right reason. I pray we've come, Lord, that we might hear from you. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. And I pray, most of all, you would help us to be doers of your word. Lord, I ask you to please give me liberty, clarity of thought and speech that I can say exactly what you want said. Lord, my desire is to preach the message that you want preached. And I pray, Father, you'd help me to do it. When it's all said and done, if there's any decision that needs to be made, I pray it be made before we leave. And when we leave, I pray we can all say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take a look once again right here at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 1. And notice Moses, he's the one doing the speaking, says to all Israel, that is his audience, according to chapter 5 and verse 1. But notice he says to all Israel, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. He says these are, and he's referring to those that are recorded in the previous chapter. If you look back to the verse I just referenced, to chapter 5 and verse 1, you'll notice it says, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day. And that's what you have recorded in the remainder of chapter 5. You have those statutes and judgments. So in chapter 6, verse 1, when he says, now these are, he's talking about what you have in chapter 5. But he says, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, notice, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Commanded to teach you. What he's saying is the Lord your God, he's saying to all Israel, the Lord your God commanded me to teach you these commandments, these statutes, and these judgments. In other words, the Lord commanded me to teach you his word. That was a responsibility that he laid on Moses as the leader of the people of Israel. He commanded him. He didn't suggest to him. He commanded Moses to teach his word to his people. And with that in mind, I'm going to preach a message this morning titled, Why Teach the Word? Why Teach the Word? And besides the obvious reason of because God said so, I'm going to show you from Deuteronomy chapter 6 a few more reasons why to teach the Word of God. And lest you begin immediately to turn me off thinking that the message has no application to you whatsoever, I want to remind you that in the sense of telling people, in the sense of making people aware of what God says, it is the responsibility of every saved person to teach the Word of God. Amen? And I say that because if you look back here to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're not going to go through it, but if you read that chapter, you will find that is exactly what Moses did. You read chapter 5 and you don't see where Moses expounded. You don't find where he did an exegesis, where he dissected the verses and told you the meaning of a whole lot of difficult words. What you find is that Moses simply told the people what God expected of them. That's all he did there in the giving of those commandments and those statutes and those judgments. He simply laid it out and told them, this is what God said. And in that sense, it is the responsibility of every saved person to teach the Word of God. It's not just the responsibility of a pastor standing behind a pulpit or a Bible teacher standing behind a podium in a classroom. It applies to pastors and preachers and Bible teachers, but in the sense of just making people aware of what God said, it is the responsibility of every Christian to teach the Word of God. But now why? Why is it that it's important that we teach? Well, as I mentioned, God said so, and that ought to be enough. Amen. That ought to be enough. That ought to be all the reason, all the motivation we need to tell people what God said. But I'm going to give you a few more reasons. But before I do that and get into the meat of the message, I want to say that it is my personal opinion. I'm just giving you my opinion here, but I'm doing so after dealing with people now for over 20 years. It is my opinion that as Christians, as saved people, we are failing miserably when it comes to us making people aware of what God has to say. That is an area where we are really coming short. I'm talking about we have dropped the ball sure enough as God's people when it comes to telling people what it is that God has to say. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that is the case. A major reason, not the only one, but a major reason why I feel like we are failing so miserably. And that is because in order for me to tell somebody what God has to say, I must know what God says. I'm telling you, you can believe me or not, that's your prerogative. We are living in a day and time when the majority, not the minority, but the majority of God's people are biblically illiterate. They know so much information about so many other things. The Bible talks about how knowledge is going to increase. And there is no doubt knowledge is increasing. We're coming out with new technologies and new advancements all the time, making all this progress, so to speak. Knowledge is increasing across the land. And even God's people are gaining more knowledge and have so much knowledge about certain things. But when it comes to what they ought to know more than anything else, the majority of them are biblically illiterate. They don't know what God says. And all you got to do is ask them. All you got to do is ask them. Just ask them some questions. And you'll find out just how illiterate many people are when it comes to what God says. But folks, it is our responsibility as saved people to have this knowledge. And I'm not talking about having absolute knowledge. There is nobody on this earth that has absolute knowledge of the Word of God. Never has been or ever shall be other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So I'm not talking about us knowing every single thing there is to know about the Bible. If we knew everything that was said in the Bible, then we'd be as smart as God. Amen. Some of us might think we're that smart, but I promise you we're not. So I'm not talking about absolute knowledge, but I'm talking about having a firm grasp of the truth of the Word of God. Just diving in and studying and digging and searching and learning and doing what we can. And shame on us if, as God's people, we spend more time with a television and a cell phone and a computer and Facebook than we do studying the most valuable thing on this planet, and that's the Word of God. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we would spend as much time reading the pages of this Bible as we do with all this technology we got nowadays? But it's easy to kick back in a recliner and just click, 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 click. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth this morning. You just, well, shake your head like this. Amen or oh me, whichever way you want it. But I'm telling you the truth. We just like to sit back, click, click, hours upon hours upon hours. And that old Bible just sits over collecting dust. Hours upon hours. This right here. And don't go out of here. I mean, you can if you want to lie. But don't go out of here and say that Brother Keith is against technology and he preached a whole sermon against Facebook. I did not. That is not the point of the message. What I'm trying to say, though, is we have become so engrossed with all this technology, just right here. It's amazing to me that some people even have thumbs anymore. How they haven't worn them down to nubs, I'll never understand. You go places, I'm serious, like a doctor's office. I don't care where you go. I went here a while back, and I can't remember where it was, but I was sitting, I believe it was a doctor's office, but I was sitting there, and I looked around, and everybody in there had a cell phone out doing this right here, so I just got mine out. Can't beat them, join them. Shame on us, though. Shame on us if we do this right here more than we do this right here. You know what I mean? And that's why so many Christians today are not able to tell people what God says, because they don't know. They're not spending the time. When somebody approaches me for counsel, I ought to be able to give them some advice from the Word of God. I'll not just be able to give them my opinion or what I think. I ought to be able to come up with something from the Bible. I ought to be able to give them some counsel, some advice. When I stand in this pulpit, I ought to be able to give you what God says. When you're talking with people, you ought to be able to tell them what God says about issues and things that have to do with this life and decisions that need to be made and how God expects a person to live and how God doesn't expect a person to live. You and I, who have the truth given to us in the Bible, ought to be able to tell people what God has to say. And shame on us. Shame on us if we can't. I don't know the times that I've had people come to me and say, you know, Brother Keith, I asked my mom and dad about this, but they didn't know, and they said, come ask you. Well, I'm not necessarily opposed to that, okay? But you know what I think? I think if your son or your daughter comes to you with a question about what God says, that if you don't know the answer before just directing them to the preacher, you ought to spend a little time studying yourself and see if you can't come up with the answer. God didn't put me here to raise your children. He didn't put your church here to raise your children. He made you mama and you daddy and put you here to raise your children. And he said to fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Admonition is teaching and instruction and training. That's what it is. He didn't say for the pastors to do that. He said the fathers are to do that. Maybe you don't have, hey, I learned a long time ago, I don't have all the answers. But when I get asked, or when my wife, some of you men, if your wife comes to you, doesn't the Bible say in the New Testament that wives ought to ask their husbands at home things that they want to know? Isn't that what the Bible says? Instead of saying, well, honey, I don't know, go ask the preacher. Why don't you study a little bit? Why don't you spend some time? Maybe you have to say, I don't know the answer. But I tell you what I'll do, baby. I'll do the best I can to find out the answer to that question. And you take some responsibility. Y'all following what I'm saying this morning? It's on us to get this knowledge in our brain, in our mind, so that we can tell people what God says. And again, I think one reason why we're failing so miserably is because we simply do not know the word ourselves like we need to. But now, why is it important? Why is it important that we tell people, why we teach people the word of God? Let me give you something real quick, and I'm almost out of time already, so I'm going to move through this quickly. First of all, let me say this. It's important to teach the word of God. It's important to make people aware of what God says so that people can obey the word. So that people can obey the word. Look at it once again now, verse number 1. He says, this is 6:1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, comma. Why did he command Moses to teach these statutes, judgments, and commandments to those people? Why did he do that? He says, that ye might, what? Do them in the land. The reason he told Moses to teach those people, to make them aware of what he said, was so they could do those things. God wants obedience. He wants compliance from his creation. He wants those that he created to do what he said. And that is a major reason why we need to teach. The Bible teaches that God wants us to be doers of the word. Amen? It's not just enough to hear it and to possess the knowledge. He wants us to put it into practice. He wants us to do the word of God. We saw it there in verse 1. Look at verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Look down at verse 17, same chapter. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded you. Look at verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Look back at chapter 5 now. Chapter 5, one more. Chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. You see that? God wants obedience. He wants compliance. He wants people to do what he said. Amen? Considering the fact that he created us, I believe he has that right. Amen? Considering the fact that he came and died for us, I believe he has that right. To demand of us that we do what he says. He wants obedience. But now think about it, folks. In order for people to do what God says, y'all follow me? For a person to do what God says, they have to know what God says. They can't obey if they don't know what God expects. I'm talking about why it's important that we make people aware of what God says. You and I can't do what we don't know. People have to know what God says in order to do what God says. So it's imperative that we make people aware. It's imperative that when I preach or I teach the Bible, that I give you what God says. That I don't give you my opinion, but that I give you what God says so that you'll know what God expects out of you. That's why it's important as parents that we tell our children what God expects out of them. Let me show you something. Look right here in this same chapter. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Look at it now. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That's a verse about a family. Y'all see that? That's a verse about a family. And he says to these parents, you are to teach your children, and you're to teach them diligently. It's amazing how we are as parents sometimes, how we're so into making sure that our children get up and go to school and they get that education. Right? We wouldn't dare let them miss ball practice. We'll let them lay out a revival in church or whatever, but bless God, they go into ball practice. Amen. We're just adamant that we're going to get all of this other knowledge. Our children, we're going to teach them how to make a living. We're going to teach them how to be good, mature citizens and patriotic citizens. And I'm not saying that stuff isn't important, but it's amazing to me how we'll spend all of this time, years and years and years of their lives, putting all of that into them, and then when they get grown, they don't even know what God expects out of them. And you can blame that on the preacher, you can blame that on whoever you want to, but I'm telling you, mama and daddy, that responsibility lies with you. That's on you, to teach your children the Word of God. It's imperative that as pastors, as parents, as parishioners, that we let people know what God says. Because in order for them to obey, they got to know what God says. And this, along the same lines, is why, according to the Bible, we should never tamper with what God says. Now let me show you this real quick. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. In your Bible, y'all listen to me, in your Bible there are three places, one close to the beginning, one in the middle, and one toward the end, three places where God says, you don't tamper with my book. He puts it all the way through there, you don't tamper with my book. Now why? Why keep your hands off of it in the sense of not messing it up? Well, let me show it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, look, for to do them. I teach so you'll know, and you need to know so you can do. For to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Look at it, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. You don't add anything to it. You don't take anything away from it. Why? That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Why do you not tamper with what God says? Because when you add to and you take from, you change what it says. Amen? When you add something that God didn't put in, when you take away something that God did put in, you're changing what it says. And that creates confusion. It causes people to not know what God says. And if a person doesn't know what God says, they cannot do what God says. It's important that you teach it, so people can obey. It's important that you don't tamper with it, so people can obey. Now let's look back at Deuteronomy chapter 6. I got to move on. I want to give you a couple of more reasons why it's important that we teach it. Number one, so people can obey. For a person to do what God says, they got to know. We have to teach them. Number two, not only so people will obey the Lord, but secondly, so people will fear the Lord. Why do we need to teach the Word of God? Why do we need to tell people what God says so they'll fear the Lord? Verse number 2, Deuteronomy 6, 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons. That's you, your son, and your grandson, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. The Bible says the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You ever read that? He says right here that thy days may be prolonged. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The years of the wicked shall be shortened, the Bible says, but the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Contrary to what modern day minds say, fearing God is a good thing. That's not a negative thing. That's a good thing. Every single person, whether saved or lost, needs to have a healthy fear of the Lord in their heart. Everyone. And I'm not just talking about a reverence. I'm talking about a fear. A fear of the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says it's the beginning of knowledge. It says by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a person has a genuine fear of God in their heart, it will alter the way they live their life. It's important to have this. So why should I teach? Well, so I'll help people fear the Lord. Why should I teach the stories of the Old Testament? Why should I teach how God flooded out the whole world in Noah's day? Why should I do that? Why should I teach that he burnt Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain down to the ground? Why should I teach that? Why should I tell my son those stories? Why should I preach that stuff from the pulpit? Why should you tell people those stories of God's judgment and what he did to those people who decided they didn't care what he expected out of them? Why should I tell them about how he sent fiery serpents in their midst to bite them when they complained and murmured about how he was treating them? Why should I do that? Why should I tell about how he opened up the earth and he swallowed people alive down into the pit, down into the heart of this earth, who rose up in rebellion against his men? Why should I tell people those stories? These are in the Bible, by the way. Y'all recognize them? This ain't stuff I made up. This stuff in the Bible, folks. We're to tell people what God said. Why should I tell them stories about God destroying armies and how he smote people with diseases, how he killed people and allowed them to be eaten by the dogs to where there was nothing left but the palms of their hands when people come to find them? Why should I tell people those stories? You say, is that really in the Bible? Yeah. It's really in the Bible. Stories about dogs licking up people's blood. That's in the Bible. Why should I do that? So that hopefully people will fear God. That stuff ought to put some fear in you. When you read that, when you hear that, you understand what God will do to those people. You and I don't need to just behold the goodness of God. We do, but the Bible says we are to behold the goodness and the severity of God. You need to understand, yes, he's a good God, but if you trifle with him, he's a severe God too, friend. And he will deal with you. Let me show you something. Go to the New Testament, just in case you are in question about what I'm saying. I'm going to show you that people who wrote the New Testament did this very thing that I'm talking about right here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But I don't have the time to read all of this, so we're just going to skip through it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is writing to save people in the church at Corinth. I want you to notice what he does. In the beginning of this chapter, he starts talking about how God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament. How some, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat and drink the same spiritual drink. They followed the rock, which was Christ. He says, verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things, look at it, were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He didn't just go back to the Old Testament and draw out all those positive stories. If Paul was a modern day preacher, he just went back there and picked out all those good, nice, sweet, positive stories from the Old Testament. That's not what he did, friend. Look what the Bible says. He says, verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as it is written. You know what he's doing right there? He's making them aware of what God said. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. He killed 23 people in one day, Paul says. Why? Fornicating. There's people today that need to hear that message. Amen. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things, look at it, happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know what Paul's doing right here? He's making people aware of what God said so they'll fear the Lord. That's what he's doing. Let me show you one other one. While we're in the New Testament, go to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse I am trying to hurry. I am trying to get done. But in my defense, I didn't get started on my regular time today either. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at this. What Peter does. He's talking to these folks and he goes right back to that Old Testament. And what does he draw out from the Old Testament? I'll show you what he draws out. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. You see what he does? He goes right back to that Old Testament. He brings that judgment. And he puts it down and he says, that's for our learning. Examples to us. Folks, the reason we teach this Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, the reason we teach the whole counsel of God, not just the positive, sweet things that doesn't offend people, the reason you tell everybody everything that you can from the Bible, both positive and negative, is so they'll fear God and understand what kind of God he is. Why, when I get to the New Testament, did I talk about hell? Why? Do y'all remember we read this morning the book of Jude? Remember that? Remember one of those verses we read? He said, and save some with fear. Remember that? Pulling them out of the fire. There's folks walking around in this world right now and their feet's just dangling in hell already. Dangling in hell. They're just that close to dying and going to hell right now. You know what we need to do? We don't need to shy away from that message because we're worried about offending them. We need to let them know what God says. Tell them the truth about hell. Tell them the truth about where they're going to go and what it's going to be like if they go there without Jesus Christ. Put the fear of God in their heart where maybe, just maybe, they'll get saved. I tell you the God's honest truth. When I got saved, one of the main reasons, if not the main reason above all reasons, that I decided to receive Jesus Christ is because I didn't want to go to hell when I died. The fear of the Lord was in my heart, and I didn't want to go that place. Why do you teach Christians about the spiritual law of sowing and reaping and on and on and on so they'll fear God? Go back to Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to give you one more, and I'm going to quit. Why teach it? Why make people aware of what God says so they can obey, so they'll fear? And then last of all, let me say, so they will love the Lord. Love the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know what I want from people? Above all, I want people to love the Lord. I want myself to love the Lord. Amen. I want to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If there would be one thing I would want for everybody in this church here today, myself included, one thing above all others that I would want for us is that we would love him the way he deserves to be loved. To love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. When Jesus Christ was questioned and asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? You know what Jesus said? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of those commandments, all the things that you read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Jesus said, the greatest one of all of those is that you love the Lord. That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. And I want to tell people what he has to say. I want to tell people about the God that's in this Bible right here so they can fall in love with him. That's what I want. I want to tell them about how good he is and how patient and how long-suffering and how gracious and how he provides and how merciful, the sacrifice he made on their behalf, the salvation he offers, the rewards, the unconditional love, and on and on and on. I want to make them aware of that so that they will love him. That's what I desire. I'm afraid the majority of us, myself included, don't love him like we ought to. I'm afraid we don't love him like we ought to. But you know what I've noticed in my life? I'm just telling you. The more time, y'all listening to me? The more time I spend in the Bible, the more I love him. And I'm telling you, there is a direct connection and correlation between a lack of love for God and a lack of time spent studying what he says. Why tell people what he says? So they'll love him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time to spend in your word. And I pray, God, that we would take it to heart. Give us grace, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's please stand together.